The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a leader who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, You must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The Gospel of the Lord. How many of y'all ever seen this before? Everybody's seen this, especially if you are a sports fan. You've always got somebody in the crowd who's going to be sitting there going, right? You know, this started in the 80s by a guy named Roland Stewart. I believe Stewart was his last name. And they knew him as Crazy Rockin' Roland. And he was the rainbow guy. He wore this rainbow wig and would bring a battery-powered television into stadiums and coliseums all over the country, so that he could find out where they were, where the cameras were. And so he would go from place to place trying to get on camera so he could hold up this sign. And since then, many, many people have sort of caught on to that trend. And so even today, you'll still see people holding up John 3:16 signs everywhere. Well, truth is, Roland doesn't really do it anymore. Because crazy wasn't just a nickname. It turned out that he really was crazy, and now he's serving 3 life sentences in federal prison. But his trend has stuck around. Because what this does is, in the midst of some of the biggest sporting events the world has ever seen, someone will hold up a John 3:16. And for believers, it is a reminder that for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. It's the most recognized and most memorized verse in all of Scripture. For non-believers, it may bring them to the Bible to say, now, what is that sign all about? And then they end up reading what Martin Luther called the gospel in miniature, the one verse that basically says it all. And so when we see 3:16, we know that God loves us and that and Jesus to save us. Let's see if we can't get this right so I'm not breathing on y'all the whole time. But now, when I see 3:16, I'm often reminded of something else. You see, on March the 9th, 1997, that's 22 years, 365 days ago. Now you may be wondering, whoa, that's 23 years. No, it's a leap year. So at 365 days, it'll be 366 days tomorrow, I preached my very first sermon in a pulpit. Well, back when I used to preach in the pulpit, right? And I remember being so completely nervous and so freaked out. You know, I had some family there and some friends there, and they were all waiting to hear me speak the Word of God for the very first time. In fact, the cross that I'm wearing today was given to me on that day, almost 23 years ago. And the text that I preached that Sunday was this very text. Well, actually, it was John 3, 14 to 21, but the main verses, 16 and 17, were still the focus of that sermon then, just as they will be now. Now, I could have just brought that old sermon from files, you know, but I really don't want to torture anybody with that a second time. Because, you know, let's say things have gotten a little better, hopefully, over the last 23 years. But I tell you, it was the biggest ego boost ever, because on the way out of church, everybody's like, oh, that's great. It was an amazing sermon. Best I've ever heard. They're either great liars or they have never heard a sermon in their lives. But the truth is, as I was thinking back on that first time I preached, man, a lot of things have changed since then. You know, I mean, in my own life, I mean, at the time, Stacy and I, we hadn't even been married a year. We were living in a seminary apartment, one bedroom, one bath, no closet apartment. And we had no children. We had no mortgage. And that's a good thing, because we had no money. You know, I was just starting out. I had less gray hair and more hair. I had a smaller belt line and a bigger ego. You know, all of these things, life has so completely changed in those 23 years. You know, I'm now ordained, four churches in. I've been in ministry for almost 20 years now. I've got a kid in college, one in middle school. I mean, it's crazy to think 23 years ago, preaching about John 3:16, how much has changed. But it's not just my life. Think about it. Think about your life 23 years ago. Some of you are thinking, I wasn't even born 23 years ago. Well, don't think that far back. But life certainly has changed, right? I mean, do you know how many people owned a cell phone back then? 19... per family, maybe one per family, because a cell phone was $30 a month for 30 minutes. But now you did get free nights and weekends. And, you know, there was no such thing as texting or smartphones or anything like that. In fact, back then, the internet used to make noise whenever you got online. And if you had caller ID, it would knock you offline if somebody called. And when you got on there, some man's voice would say, you've got mail, every single time. And even that cost money by the minute. So did long distance. 10 cents a minute if you had a really good plan. But those 10 cents a minute really added up. But there are so many more things that are different. We still had two twin towers that were standing in New York City. And you could go to an airport an hour before your flight and still get on with plenty of time to spare, because there was no threat of a terrorist attack here in the United States. We didn't even think of that. You know, TVs were really fat and a lot smaller. There were so many different things that we had then and that we have now. Remember the dish network? Yeah, the dishes back then were the size of a small car that people would put in their yards. And now, they're this big, if you use anything at all anymore. The world has changed. We have changed. Your lives back then, someone that you love most of all in the world may have still been in your life. Someone that you love most of all may have not even been born, or you may not have met yet. 23 years is a long time, and things change a lot during that time, right? But we come back to this text, and we see things that have changed, but also some things that never change. First of all, we get a guy named Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Now, Pharisees in Jesus' day were the holiest of the holy. These were not bad people. They were church people. And what they would do is they would follow the law, every letter of the law. And they would teach others to do the same. But Jesus was coming on the scene and doing some strange things and some new things. And so he came, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, which probably meant that he was confused. He was in the dark about what was going on. Jesus had done some incredible things up to that point in John. He had changed water into wine, which I don't know about you, but I haven't seen anybody do that one since. And so he says, you know, we know by your deeds that you're a teacher from God and that you're born from above. And Jesus says, look, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born from above. And so Nicodemus, the teacher of the Jews, says, wait, what are you talking about? So am I supposed to enter my mother's womb a second time and be born again? No. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless born of water and spirit. What is flesh is flesh, and what is spirit. And so Nicodemus still just doesn't understand this. And how's that so different from now? I mean, here we are gathered as Christians in a place, and we are the believers, right? We're the ones that still show up on Sunday mornings. You know, we have Bibles in our homes. Oh, sure, they might be a little dusty, but we have them, right? We know what they said. And when we see John 3:16, we know the words. Do we really understand it? Or are we just as confused as Nicodemus was so many years ago? Because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And you know what we've done with this glorious text, this text of gospel, this text of love and grace and mercy? We've made it a text of judgment and condemnation. Because what we stress is everyone who believes, right? So if you believe, you're in. And if you don't believe, well, sorry. And so then we start taking the next step. Well, how much belief is enough belief? I mean, do you believe enough? Are you holy enough? Are you doing enough things to show your belief? Because if you're not, then you may be on the other side. And what if you get caught in a moment of doubt? Because, you know, we all have those moments, right? And let's say that you're having a doubt day, and you're driving down the road, and all of a sudden somebody swerves to the other side, hits you head on, and you die. But you doubted right then, so you didn't believe. And so does that mean that you go to hell? We don't really understand either, do we? But you see, my friends, some things change and some things don't. And one of the things that don't is the love, grace, and mercy of our God. Because you see, there's not just a John 3:16, there's also a John 3:17 that says, indeed, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved. See, in John's gospel, he uses a lot of metaphors and symbolism, but anytime you see the world, he's not talking about planet Earth. He's talking about the fallen, broken sinfulness of humanity. And so he's saying God did not send his son to condemn the world. He's talking about you and me. He's talking about fallen, broken sinners. He's talking about people that no matter how hard we try, we can't get it right. And he's talking about people that don't even try and can't get it right. He's talking about all of us. And that is the good news, that God did not send his son to condemn fallen, broken sinners like us. He sent him to save us. That's the good news. The bad news is, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world includes those people too. The very fallen, broken sinners that we try to separate ourselves from. The people that don't look like us or talk like us, or people who aren't from where we're from, or don't believe exactly like we believe. The people over there, those people, the people we don't want to be with. the people we don't associate with. And that's the tough part. That's where we get confused. But see, here's the reality, my friends. What is born from above? What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of spirit is spirit. And you see, our faith, our belief comes from God. It is a gift that we're given. And because of that gift, our world is saved. God didn't create this world and have some in and some out. God wants to save everyone, everybody, no matter what they look like, no matter what they talk like, no matter what their race, their gender, their sexuality, none of that matters, because God sent Jesus to save us all. Every single one of us. And that is the message of love, grace, and mercy that you and I are sent out to preach. That's what you and I are to hold up our signs and say. Because that's what John 3:16 really means. It's not something of separation. It's not a message of us against them. It is a message of inclusion. It is a message of love and grace and mercy beyond measure. So let me invite you to do something. Make your own sign. And it doesn't have to be this big. In fact, you can make a post-it note and say John 3:16. It can just say 3:16 and put it somewhere that you can see it. You can even order a bumper sticker off of Amazon if you want to, because I'm sure they sell them. They sell everything else. Put this somewhere you can see it. And when you see it, may it remind you of a God who loves you enough to send his son and loves them enough to save the world. And remind you that as followers of Jesus Christ, we're called to love just that much. We're called to love and include the entire fallen, broken, sinful world just as Christ does. You see, some things change. Some things never will. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy embraces us. Broken sinners like you and me. And that, my friends, changes you. Therefore, you can change the world. Amen.